from the epistle about the Acts of the Apostles. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as they had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together at the temple, they broke bread at homes and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Let us sing Day by Day.
The gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Before we get to that, just a reminder that we are in what's called the season of Eastertide, and this is the fourth Sunday of Easter. It is also called Good Shepherd Sunday. And so if you think, man, didn't we hear that last year? Well, sort of, yes, we did, but all of the lectionary, the three-year lectionary texts, come from John chapter 10, just in small doses. This year is lectionary year A, and so this is the first part. This follows the story of the man who was born blind from birth, and Jesus restored his sight. Do you remember that? We had that text several weeks ago. And it's a reminder, too, that even before we get into there, in chapter 9, verses 40 and 41, it says, some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to Jesus, surely we're not blind, are we? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. Hear the word of the Lord for this Sunday, John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So again, Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I don't know what your lives were like as you grew up. I think some of us just kind of have a propensity towards some animals. Some of my friends have a propensity towards all animals, and they really don't care what they look like or what they do. They love them all. I'm sort of selective. As you know, I have a huge affinity for dogs. Yes, you all know that. Many of you have met her. But since I was young, I had this yearning to know sheep. Now, when I said that to any of my friends who, number one, had farms and number two, had sheep, they thought that that was pretty foolish because they said, you know, sheep are really pretty stupid and you really don't want to know them and you don't. And yet, I would find myself fascinated. One church I served, I was so fortunate to have somebody in the church who actually did raise sheep. And so I didn't get to go very often, mostly because I would kind of forget. But I loved that act of going out to the farm and being there. I never, ever had the proper timing to be there when the lambs were born. But yet, many years after I started preaching, I was gifted a trip to Israel by my parents. And we went with this very small group. There were only 22 of us. And we were not part of like a whole bunch of other 22 member groups. We were just our own group. And this tour, these 11 days that we spent in the Holy Land, took us to some of the very familiar places, but we also got to go to some that were a little different. When we went to the shepherd's field, we went to an actual shepherd's field. Our guide had gotten permission, and while the sheep were not there when we went, because that probably would have been disastrous, it gave us a real keen eye of what it was like in Israel to be a shepherd. We got to stand in the cave, carefully watching our step. It was a working sheep field. And we got to listen to the stories. I was so fascinated that while I was in Israel, I wanted something to always remind me. And I found this olive wood carving, and I know it's not very large, you know, money, those kinds of things. But it's Jesus holding a lamb, and it's just beautiful. I've had it in my office some, I've had it at home some. I almost couldn't remember where I'd put it. And then I remembered I had it out when we did the stations, the prayer stations. And so then I could find it again. I love this image of Jesus holding a lamb. I love the idea that God is our shepherd. What we do know, those of you who know sheep know, they're not really very smart. And that's probably a huge overstatement. They're probably a lot smarter than we think they are. But they need someone to guide them. They need someone to protect them. And that's just exactly, I believe, why God says we are the sheep. And God is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. All of this sort of takes me back, though, to my childhood. Okay. How many of you grew up watching? Yes, exactly. Sam the sheepdog and Ralph the wolf taught me about sheep when I was very tiny. And it didn't really dawn on me until later on in my life how clearly that resembles God, the protector, and Satan, the antagonist, doesn't it? It's amazing. Now, I tell you, I watched, lots of Sam and Ralph cartoons through this last week. Lots of them. Feel free. But then I remember how much that sheepdog reminds us of God and the protection of God. How attentive the shepherd is to the sheep. Did you notice it? Did you notice that no matter what Ralph the wolf did, Sam was always like five steps ahead of him? How did he get in that oven? I don't know. It's the magic of God. I know that may sound a little simplistic, but I love that. I love that image that no matter what happens to us, no matter who tries to lead us astray, God is always there. And Jesus came to say, I am the attentive shepherd. I am the one who is looking at you, who is what? And before I get beyond that, the look in those sheep eyes when they're in trouble reminds me of every single time of exactly how I feel when I've gotten myself into trouble. And yet the shepherd is there. Our shepherd is watching and is attentive to everything that happens to us. And we know that because of this scripture, because of this passage. Our shepherd calls us by name. Calls us by name. Maybe we don't hear that with our ears, but we hear it with our heart. That God looks down on all of us. Scripture even tells us that God knows us so well that God knows every hair on our head. I apologize for some of you that might be a little painful. But I'm glad to know that. That's how well God knows us and can call us by name. Jesus also is trying to explain to the disciples and everybody around them, because, Jesus says, because I'm the attentive shepherd, I'm going to work for your safety. It may not seem like it right now. It may not seem like it to you, but sometimes when we look back on those times when our lives have got a little cattywampus, it's God who is there. It is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our shepherd, who is guiding us and leading us to safety. Hopefully, and again, I know it's tiny, hopefully helping us to feel just like this olive wood statue, that we are being held in the arms of Jesus our Christ. And because Jesus is an attentive shepherd, he paid the ultimate sacrifice, and he laid down his life for each of us. Not just for the people of that time, or not just for his disciples, but for all of us through the ages. John has been one of my favorite books of scripture. There are so many reasons I really love it. But one of the reasons is that in John, there is this reminder that we're not here on this earth to live by ourselves. We're here to live in community. We're here to be together. It's how sheep live. together. Very seldom do you just see one or two. You see a flock because there's protection in the community. There's support in the community. And so the Gospel of John reminds us of that. And not only right now, but as the disciples go forward, they're going to see amazing examples. In the next chapter, chapter 11, it's the story of how Jesus restores Lazarus, not just in life, but restores Lazarus back to the community, to his family and his friends and his neighbors. In chapter 15, Jesus gives us this incredible, incredible image of the vine and the branches. I am the vine and you are the branches. We're in community. The branches can't live without the vine. In chapter 21, Jesus gives the story of the untorn net that captured all kinds of fish together. Everyone was together. See, the purpose of the gate, the purpose of the sheep gate, is not to keep people out. It's not to keep out other sheep. It's to guard against the wolves. It's to guard against the Ralph characters in our world who would try to take us away. The sheep gate and the pen keeps us together. I believe it's one of the reasons that God has created the church, to keep us together. It doesn't mean that we're the only ones that get to be here and we have an exclusive club. It means that come in, everybody is safe in here. Everybody is safe to come in and talk about what is burdening them, what is on their heart, what scares us. And we can share that and help each other remember that no matter what we face, we don't face it alone. Jesus is with us. Jesus is here to call us into community and to support each other and to be with each other. I love that image. Maybe that's one of the reasons. I know lots of other animals stay in herds and flocks, and I get that. And it's all about the same, isn't it? They're in that for protection and to remind each other that when things get bad, I'm going to help you. I'm not going to run away. I'm going to be right there with you. Oh, dear God, I ask for strength to do that. Every day, to not run away when things get ugly. It's my propensity to want to do that. Maybe some of you as well, maybe not. But God says, stick together. There's strength in numbers. I like this passage too, because as the thief works very quietly and very sneakily and in the shadow of the night, or in Ralph the Wolf's case, in the shadow of his fur, I guess. For the sheep, everything is open and above board. It's the well-being of sheep that are at the shepherd's heart. I think that's one of the reasons that Jesus reminds us that I am the good shepherd. Because the good shepherd takes care of the flock. Did you notice again how well Sam took care of his flock? He didn't just rescue them, and he carried them back and brought them back home. It's the well-being. The shepherd comes onto the property where the sheep are. And the sheep near know that they can hear their shepherd, they can follow their shepherd, and they know who to trust. In our families, we see that, especially with small children. They know they trust first, mom and dad. Mom and Dad introduce them to the larger family and then to the community. And they teach them, these are the people you can trust. And this is how you know you can trust them. We keep it open and above board. We're honest, hopefully. And this is one of the things I loved. In verse 4 of our passage, it says, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The shepherd goes before and leads us. We don't ever have to worry that we have to be the one making decisions. All we have to remember is to listen for the voice of God. All we have to do is to read scripture to find those things that help us know this is what God asks of us, and that we are led by Jesus Christ. And very specifically, in these verses, Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the door. A door opens and allows us into the fellowship of Jesus Christ, but also knows when we need to be secure. Come in, come in. You see, this is the good news. God isn't willing to just remain distant from us. Okay, Sam did. He was looking from a far distance, but our God doesn't do that. Our God, in the form of Jesus Christ, was here on earth, walking and talking and being with everyone, reaching out to people who felt lost, reaching out for people who had no idea who to turn to or what to do next. And Jesus went with them. We can hold on to that good news, that God isn't willing to remain at a distance. Our God is personal and private and open and public, all of those things. We know how our relationship with Jesus Christ personally, we know our relationship in the body of Christ, and we're reminded. And because Jesus is fully God, we know that God is the good shepherd. So how does that apply to our lives, and how do we figure that out? We can't make every single decision, or can we? I know people who do, who are very reluctant to make decisions without praying about them first. I know I can remember when I was growing up and I would hear somebody, usually somebody in my family, say, well, thank you for that question. I really have to pray about it. And I thought, you have to pray about it. Now I lay me down to sleep. How does that help you? I had to grow up and learn that the decisions that I make, I need to run by God first. I need to ask God, is this true? And I know some people ask for a sign, and a lot of my friends always get them. I don't do it that way, but maybe you do. We're all different. That's the beauty of what God did for all of us. But when I have a decision to make, I always want to pray about it first and take it to God. I feel like after I've had a decision, I take it to God, and then I know. Do I have peace in my heart? Are there things that I still question? Does it seem too scary, or does it seem too, as some people said, too easy? But I allow God to help me with my decisions. I wish I could tell you that I was so good that if I didn't feel clearly that God wanted me to do that, I wouldn't, because I'm not that good. There are lots of times that I take a decision to God and I don't really feel at peace about it, but it's something I really, really wanted to do, so I do it anyway. Has that happened to you? And sometimes it works out, a lot of times it doesn't. And the joy of knowing that Jesus is our shepherd is the joy of knowing that even when I mess up, I am welcome. I'm not shunned from the sheepfold. I'm welcomed into the body of Christ. All of my mistakes, all of my missteps, I'm welcomed. It would be great to say to you too that once I've made that horrible mistake that I would never do it again, but that's not true. I'd sometimes do things 2, 3, 4 times. It's like I just can't learn. And here's what I found out about Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I think, and I believe with my whole heart, that Jesus is looking at me, especially about the 4th time I've made that mistake, or 10th or 15th, and saying, "Oh, Laura, okay, let's go again." And Jesus welcomes me back because Jesus isn't the one that left. I'm the one that left. But Jesus welcomes me back into the fold, welcomes me back and lets my heart know that there is nowhere I can go that the good shepherd will not find me, because that's what shepherds do. Sometimes they leave the flock to go after the one that is so lost and caught, knowing that they're going to return. The shepherd will return. So, as we get through this 4th Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday, may we leave this passage knowing that Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." For your abundant life this week, may you be blessed. For the way that you share your faith with your family and friends, may you be blessed. For those times when you are so afraid and so scared, may you be blessed in knowing that Jesus, our Savior, our Shepherd, will go to any lengths to pick us up and carry us home. May it be so. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.